Al-Bayan Radio presents The Life of Prophet Muhammad, Peace Be Upon Him, presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our classes on the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have reached our seventh lesson. And our main topic for this lesson, my dear brothers and sisters, is the persecution of the believers. My dear brothers and sisters, in our last lesson, we spoke about the tactics and the methods that the Quraysh used to combat the da'wah, to combat Islam, to combat the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when all these tactics didn't work, they resorted to persecuting and punishing the Muslims. And this was a terrible phase for the early believers. And there were many incidents in which Muslims were tortured and even killed by Quraysh. So this shows, my dear brothers and sisters, that when you truly believe, you will be tested. And the early believers were tested. As we mentioned, my dear brothers and sisters, as the frustration of the Quraysh increased, they began to persecute the Muslims more and more severely. And their victims of choice were the weak Muslims, those who had no protection and were not from the nobility, and they also targeted the slaves. My dear brothers and sisters, in punishing the weak, the Quraysh had a few goals in mind, such as the following. One, they wanted to use torture to make Muslims abandon their religion. Two, they wanted to set an example of the weak Muslims so as to frighten the Muslims who had some sort of protection. And three, they wanted to vent their anger and frustration. Now, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu an, he mentions in the hadith, which is found in Musnad Imam Ahmad and has been declared Hassan, that the first group to openly proclaim their Islam consisted of seven people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Ammar, Ammar's mother, Sumayya, Suhaib, Bilal, and Al-Miqdad, radiallahu anhum. As for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah protected him through his uncle Abu Talib. And as for Abu Bakr, Allah protected him through his people, meaning Abu Bakr's clan. And as for the rest of them, the Quraysh took them, dressed them in armor made of iron, and melted them in the sun. From those who were punished, my dear brothers and sisters, was Bilal, radiyallahu an. Now Bilal was the slave of Umayya bin Khalaf. Umayya would hand him over to the children of the street, who went around with him in the valleys of Mecca as he was tied with a rope around his neck. Now Umayya bin Khalaf, his master, would bring him out at noon and throw him on his back on the burning sand with a heavy rock on his chest. Then they would prompt him to disbelieve in Allah and deny the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he would continue saying, Ahadun Ahad, reaffirming his true iman, his faith in Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, by declaring his oneness, by declaring his right to be worshipped alone. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu an bought him and freed him for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu an was buying the Muslim slaves and freeing them for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now his father said to him, Abu Quhafa, who was not a Muslim at the time, I noticed that you are freeing the weak or the slaves. Had you freed strong men, they would stand you in good stead. In reply, Abu Bakr radiallahu an said, I seek but the pleasure of Allah. And as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, ayat in Surah Al-Layl were revealed concerning this matter, with many saying this is referring to Abu Bakr's freeing of the slaves radiallahu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Layl, ayah 14 to ayah 21,
فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى.
I warn you all of a fire blazing fiercely. None shall enter it, except the most wretched, those who deny and turn away. However, the God-fearing will be saved from the fire, those who spend their wealth in order to purify themselves, who spend without seeking a reward in return. They seek only the countenance of their Lord, the Most High. Verily soon they will be pleased. Also, from those who were punished, as we mentioned previously, was Ammar, his father Yasir, and his mother Sumayyah. They would all be punished by the Banu Makhzum tribe, of which Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of this ummah, was a chief. They would take them, led by Abu Jahl, out to the hot sands of the desert at noon and torture them. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them being punished, being tortured, and he advised them, he comforted them, saying, "Sabran ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." Patience, or be patient, or have the good news, O family of Yasir, for indeed your place of appointment, your destination, in other words, is Jannah, is paradise. Now Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of this ummah, he killed Sumayyah, radiyallahu anha, thus making her the first martyr in Islam, radiyallahu anha, as Abu Jahl, this tyrant, speared her in her lower body. Shortly thereafter, my dear brothers and sisters, her husband, Yasir, died in a similar manner, both martyred in the path of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah be pleased with them. As for Ammar, my dear brothers and sisters, he continued to be tortured, even after his parents died. The Quraysh were trying to make him renounce his faith, meaning trying to make him leave Islam, as they tried with the other Muslims. But Ammar did not succumb to their pressure, until the pain they inflicted upon him became too much to bear, and he said whatever the kuffar of Quraysh wanted him to say. After this, Ammar rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to him, "What happened to you?" Ammar said, "Something bad, O Messenger of Allah. I was not let go until I spoke bad about you, and spoke well of their gods." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, "How do you find your heart?" Ammar said, "It is at rest with Iman," meaning faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, "If they do that again, do the same again," meaning as you did. Now this hadith was related by Al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi. Its isnad is da'if, but it was narrated via many isnads, which indicates that there is a basis for this story. Ibn Hajar says in Fath al-Bari, "These mursal reports strengthen one another." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, Ayah 106,
"من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم."
Whoever disbelieves in Allah after their belief, not those who are forced while their hearts are firm in faith, but those who embrace disbelief wholeheartedly, they will be condemned by Allah and suffer a tremendous punishment. From those who were persecuted as well, my dear brothers and sisters, was Mus'ab bin Umayr radiyallahu an, who prior to his Islam lived a life of luxury. No other young man in Mecca lived better than him. He wore the best clothes and put on the best perfume. Now when he became Muslim, his privileged lifestyle ended. His mother refused to give him food and drink and kicked him out of her house. He was also brutally tortured, but he continued to strive and sacrifice until Allah honored him with martyrdom at the Battle of Uhud, as we shall discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, even Uthman was harmed by his uncle, who used to tie him up or wrap him up in a mat of palm leaves and set fire under him. Abu Bakr himself, radiyallahu an, once he was giving a sermon inviting the people to Islam, and as has been mentioned, he is the first person to deliver a sermon from this nation while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained seated. When they saw him delivering this sermon, the kuffar of the Quraysh became enraged and charged towards Abu Bakr, who was both trampled upon and beaten severely. Utbah bin Rabi'ah used his own shoes to viciously strike Abu Bakr radiyallahu an. Another of the companions who were persecuted was Khabbab bin al-Arat radiyallahu an, who was a blacksmith in Mecca and had no one to protect him. My dear brothers and sisters, he was tortured with his own tools, where he would be branded or burnt with heated iron. They would also heat stones in fire, place the stones on the ground, and make Khabbab lie down on them. Now when the weak Muslims began to suffer more and more at the hands of the Quraysh, Khabbab radiallahu anh went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "Will you not ask help for us? Will you not invoke Allah for us?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face turned red and he said, "Among those who came before you, a man would have a pit dug for him in the ground. He would be placed inside of it and then a sword be brought and placed over his head. Then he would be split into two halves, yet that did not turn him away from his religion. What is beneath his flesh in terms of bone and nerve would be combed off with combs of iron, yet that did not deter him from his religion. By Allah, he will indeed complete this matter," meaning make Islam supreme, "until a rider will travel from Sina' to Hadramaut, and fi nawam ba Allah, or a wolf upon his sheep. But you indeed are hasty," meaning for matters to improve before the appointed time comes for that to happen. And this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now in these incidents, my dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is training the Sahaba to 1. Follow the way of the previous prophets, messengers and their followers in terms of how they patiently endured punishment and torture in the path of Allah. 2. To not be attached to this world and to not be deceived by the material pleasures, but to attach yourselves to what Allah has prepared in Jannah in terms of rewards and bliss for the patient believers. 3. To be positive about the future, knowing fully well that Allah will make Islam reign in this world and humiliate the wrongdoers and disbelievers. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there were other Muslims who also suffered at the hands of the Quraysh, and who also remained firm upon their religion despite the ill treatment they received from their fathers and relatives. For the cause of Islam, they were willing to sacrifice all of the comfort and worldly pleasures they enjoyed prior to entering the fold of Islam, because they hoped for their reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now also, my dear brothers and sisters, it's important to note that many Muslim women were also victims of punishment and torture, and some were even killed, like Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first martyr in Islam. And there was also Fatima bint al-Khattab, Labiba, Zannira, Ubays, and Nahdiya, and her daughter, and many others radiallahu anhun. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being from a respected tribe, his opponents did not dare mistreat him the way they treated the slaves who had converted to Islam. And as we've mentioned, in addition to him being from a noble tribe, he also enjoyed the protection of his uncle Abu Talib, who was respected as a great chief, and the people held him in high esteem, and no one would even think of dishonoring him by harming his nephew. For these reasons, my dear brothers and sisters, the pagans of Quraysh had to be quite careful in how they opposed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they decided once again to hold talks with Abu Talib, talks in which they would hint at what might happen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam if he continued opposing their religion. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the physical harm and persecution and torture of the Muslims wasn't working. And the Quraysh, as we previously mentioned, had spoken to Abu Talib to do something about his nephew. And once again, they called for a meeting with Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they did not know how to deal with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his followers. So once again, they go and talk to Abu Talib, and they said to him, this time in a more harsh manner than the previous meetings, "O Abu Talib, you are old, and we hold you in high esteem. We asked you previously to restrain your nephew, but you did nothing. By Allah, we cannot take this any longer. Our fathers are denounced. We are called ignorant and our gods are insulted. Either you stop him or we will fight you both until one side perishes." Now Abu Talib, my dear brothers and sisters, he felt the sting of these aggressive words. The mushriks of Mecca had challenged him and he took their threats seriously. He sent for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him what they said to him. Then Abu Talib said, "Have mercy on me and yourself, and do not impose on me a burden greater than I can bear." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then replied, whilst looking up at the sky, saying, "Do you see the sun?" They said, "Yes." He sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, "By Allah, I am not more able to abandon what I have been sent with than for someone to reach up and light a torch of fire from this sun. And this hadith has been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Abu Talib then said, by Allah, my nephew has never lied. Then Abu Talib said to the mushrikeen of Quraysh, so return, meaning from where you came from, in a sensible manner. In another report, Abu Talib is reported to have said, come back, my nephew. Go where you please and say what you will. By Allah, I will never turn away from you, regardless of what may happen. So once again, Abu Talib showed his support and protection for his beloved nephew, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, when these threats and negotiations did not work, the Quraysh decided to persecute the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also intensify their campaign against the believers. But because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's high position in Meccan society, only those of like standing dared mistreat him. And from those who harassed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of this ummah. Abu Jahl, whose real name was Amr bin Hisham, and as we have mentioned previously, he belonged to the Banu Makhzum clan or tribe of Quraysh. He was also known in the Jahiliyyah as Abu al-Hakam, father of wisdom, because according to the Quraysh, he was a man of intelligence and understanding. But due to his relentless, cruel and ruthless animosity and hatred to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers and his rejection of the message of Islam, he was called Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. Now Abu Jahl, he made his mission to fight Islam and the Muslims. His hate and enmity grew each time he heard of someone becoming Muslim. If this new Muslim held a high position in society, Abu Jahl would rebuke him, criticize him, and threaten him with the loss of property and honor. Now, if someone from the lower class or the weaker section of tribal society accepted Islam, Abu Jahl would beat them severely and incite others to do the same. If, however, they saw that a prominent person had accepted Islam, meaning a person from a higher or stronger section of the tribal society, they proceeded more cautiously, as only mushrikeen of the same social status could then challenge this new convert or revert to Islam. Now, in regards to Abu Jahl's abuse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have many authentic reports describing some of these incidents, such as the following found in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, which states that Abu Jahl asked, does Muhammad rub his face in the dust? Meaning, does he prostrate when he prays at the Kaaba when he is among you? He was told, yes. He then said, by Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, some of their idols, if I see him doing that, I will step on his neck or I will rub his face in the dust. Now Abu Hurairah continued to say, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and prayed. He, meaning Abu Jahl, had claimed, as we said, that he would step on his neck. But suddenly all they saw was that he was running away, raising his hands to protect himself. Who said to him, what is the matter with you? He said, there is, or there was, a ditch of fire and terror and wings between me and him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he had come near me, the angels would have snatched him piece by piece. Then Allah revealed the words, meaning the ayat, in Surah Al-Alaq from ayah 6 to 19, where he says,
كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَى أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى أرأيت إن كذب وتولى ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى كلا لئن لم ينته لنسفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطئة فليدع ناديه سندع الزبانية كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب.
No, but indeed man transgresses, because he sees himself self-sufficient. Indeed, to your Lord is the return. Have you seen the one who forbids a servant when he prays? Have you seen if he is upon guidance or enjoins righteousness? Have you seen if he denies and turns away? Does he not know that Allah sees? Know that if he does not stop, we will surely drag him by the forelock. May also mean slap him or blacken his face at the forelock. A lying, sinning forelock. Then let him call his associates. We will call the angels of hell, those who push the wicked into the fire. No, do not obey him, but prostrate and draw near, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another incident found in Sahih Muslim as well, my dear brothers and sisters, narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying near the Kaaba, while Abu Jahl and some of his companions were sitting nearby. Abu Jahl said, "Who will go and bring the internal organs or the insides of the she-camel of so-and-so or of such and such a clan, which had been slaughtered the previous day, and place it between the shoulders of Muhammad when he goes down into prostration?" And the most accursed of them, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, got up, brought the insides of the camel, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down into prostration, he placed it between his shoulders. They all burst out in laughter, falling over one another. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud continues to say, "At this, I stood watching. Had I the ability and protection, I would have thrown it away from the back of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had bent down his head in prostration and did not raise it until a man went to his house and informed Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was still a young girl at the time. She came and removed the filth from him. Then she turned towards those who had done this, cursing them. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished his prayer, he raised his voice and supplicated, meaning he made dua against them. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud continued to say, "It was his habit that when he supplicated, he does so 3 times. And when he asked of Allah, he did so 3 times. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off by making dua against Quraysh. Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Oh Allah, seize and destroy Quraysh. Now when they heard this, when these mushrikeen heard this, when they heard his voice, their laughter ceased, their laughter stopped, and they feared his supplication, meaning the supplication of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl. Oh Allah, seize and destroy Abu Jahl bin Hisham." Then he mentioned the rest of the 7. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, at the conclusion of this hadith, he said, "By the one who sent Muhammad with the truth, I saw all those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam named in this supplication dead at the Battle of Badr." My dear brothers and sisters, we learn many things from this hadith, such as the following. 1. We learn of the courage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he prayed and called to Allah in open sight of those who were his open enemies. 2. The courage of Fatima bint Muhammad, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of the women in paradise. We also learn the need to bear harm and difficulty in the path of Allah and in the deliverance and establishment of his deen. We also learn the lowness of the enemies of Allah. They have and had no response to the haqq or to the truth except to resort to persecution and cheap tactics unbefitting of real men. And we see this continue up until today. And we also learn from this incident the linking of obligations with ability. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was unable to come to the aid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he would have been attacked severely by Abu Jahl and his allies. So he is not held accountable for not doing so. And this is from the mercy of Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul except with what it can bear, as is found in Surah Al-Baqarah. And lastly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not always just ignore the insults and harm, and he did not always simply just make dua for those who attacked him in Mecca. Sometimes he threatened them, as we see in this incident. Sometimes he prayed against them. And as the ulama have said, my dear brothers and sisters, it depends on the context, the perpetrator, and their record, and so on and so forth. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we've mentioned previously the enmity that Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showed his nephew. But also Abu Lahab's wife, Jamil, was also a staunch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an, he narrated that when the words
"tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab"
perished, the two hands of Abu Lahab were revealed. The wife of Abu Lahab, Jamil, came when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with Abu Bakr. Now Jamil came to harm and abuse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but she spoke to Abu Bakr and she could not see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting right next to Abu Bakr. When she went away, Abu Bakr said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Did she not see you?" He said, "No, an angel was covering me until she went away." In another narration, my dear brothers and sisters, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell ill and did not stay up and pray qiyam, or the night prayer, for 2 or 3 nights. Then a woman came and said, "O Muhammad, I hope that your shaitan has left you. I have not seen him coming near you for 2 or 3 nights." Then Allah revealed the following words or ayat from Surah Ad-Duha.
والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى.
By the forenoon, meaning after sunrise, by the night when it darkens, and stand still, your Lord, O Muhammad, has neither forsaken you nor hates you. Ibn Hajr says in Fath al-Bari that the words "a woman came" refers to Jamil bint Harb, the wife of Abu Lahab. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their fate, the fate of Abu Lahab and his wife, in Surah Al-Masad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Sayasla naran dhata lahab. وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد.
May the hands of Abu Lahab be ruined, and ruined is he. His wealth and children will not benefit him. He will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames, and his wife as well, the carrier of firewood. Around her neck is a rope of twisted fiber, and this is referring to the punishment that she will have in the hellfire. With that, we conclude today's lesson, my dear brothers and sisters. In our next lesson, we will discuss the hijrah to Al-Habasha and also the Islam of Hamza and Umar. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.